had Houston Methodist report me. They went after me for speaking out against some mandates online. They told a reporter they were suspending my privileges, and the story went global.
And I have the pleasure today of speaking with Dr. Mary Bowden. You may follow her on Twitter, MD Breathe. She has been at the forefront of fighting medical tyranny here in Texas and throughout the country, really. We interviewed her back in, I think it was November or December, but things have changed quite a bit in those short few months. She's had some experience recently in getting into political primaries and passing resolutions, and a recent win with the FDA over ivermectin. So welcome, Dr. Bowden.
Thanks for having me, Michelle.
And I want to repeat that congratulations on receiving your sword in December at the Conservative Leaders Gala. That was an exciting moment. You had everybody on their feet. So congratulations. Well deserved.
Thank you. I have it mounted in my bedroom, which is pretty funny.
That's exciting. So let's talk first about the FDA. I'll admit that I have not dived deep into the issue with ivermectin, but I know that you have been posting quite a bit about them retracting some, you know, misinformation about the medicine and allowing it to be prescribed with informed consent. So if you could elaborate on that, that would be great.
So they launched a war on ivermectin, but in broader terms, it was a war on the doctor-patient relationship. The FDA's role is to approve medications for human use and then move on. They're not allowed to dictate how these medications are used. And off-label prescribing is very common. We didn't even think about it prior to COVID. But they sent out a series of social media tweets, and we all are familiar with the famous horse tweet. We had the attractive healthcare worker nuzzling the horse. You don't even need the caption, but it says, "You're not a horse, you're not a cow. Seriously, y'all stop it." Well, that tweet went viral. 24 million people saw it in the first week. It was their most widely viewed tweet ever, and it had dire consequences. Cast ivermectin as an animal drug. And then, you know, going forward, every time I tried to prescribe it, I was met with resistance. The pharmacists were saying, well, it's not FDA approved for COVID, which it's not, but that's no excuse. Courts were using it when, you know, patients were suing to get it in the hospital, and courts were using this FDA not approved theme to deny patients in court. Hospitals were using it. So, yeah, a lot of people needlessly suffered, died from this tweet. So we sued them, and it's been a battle. It was a year and a half. It was myself and Paul Merrick, who's one of the founders of FLCCC, and then Robert Apter, he's another private practice physician. And initially, the case was dismissed on the grounds of sovereign immunity, which basically means you can't sue the government as long as they're doing what the government is allowed to do. But we appealed, and then we won that, which gave us the right to keep going. But then the FDA challenged our case again based on standing, meaning that, okay, they may have done these things, but it didn't directly affect the plaintiffs. Well, the judge ruled that I had standing, so the case continued on, and then the FDA asked to settle. And we agreed to settle basically because they were fulfilling the terms of what we were seeking in the first place, which was to remove the post, to remove the misinformation on their website. Now, they won't admit any wrongdoing, but the actions themselves speak very loudly that, you know, they have to take down this clear misinformation, these directives to the public. So we see it as a big win. It's very hard to sue the government and win. We're excited that, you know, it sets a precedent that going forward, you know, they need to butt out of the doctor-patient relationship.
And so the downstream effects of that, obviously they've updated their website. You said that they removed that tweet. How has that impacted the doctor-patient relationship in practice since then?
Well, we still have 3 years of propaganda to reverse. I don't expect immediate changes. I did manage to get one Walmart pharmacy to fill it without pushback. But on the flip side, I've had Walgreens deny prescriptions since then. We just have to keep, we have to keep spreading the word, because like I said, you know, not everybody or very few people know about this lawsuit. So they're still under the impression that ivermectin is not approved for use by the FDA, which it's not, but that doesn't mean we can't use it or prescribe it.
Yeah. I mean, I have a child that had Lyme disease, and I think we used disulfiram in the treatment of Lyme disease, and that's antabuse, basically. It's a drug to combat substance abuse. But it's, you know, there was research indicating that it was very effective in Lyme disease, and it worked. So it's like, this is nothing new. This was back in 2019, I think. So pre-COVID. But like you said, it's never been such a big deal. I also want to get an update on other cases or other fights that you're battling continually. You mentioned before we started recording that you have continued fights against the Texas Medical Board. So if you want to give us some updates on that, and if there's anything that anybody out there can do to assist you, or if you are in need of, you know, legal funds or anything like that, please let us know.
So I've been battling the Texas Medical Board for 2.5 years. They've offered to settle twice, but they won't clear my name, and that's what I'm seeking. I want the charges dismissed. I had two hospitals report me to the medical board, and they've lumped those complaints into this one fight. Had Houston Methodist report me. They went after me for speaking out against some mandates online. They told a reporter they were suspending my privileges, and the story went global. So I resigned after they did that, and then they turned me in for resigning while under investigation. And so then the second case is Texas Hughley Hospital. I posted about that today because a year ago, Jason Jones died, and he fought very hard, he and his wife, to get ivermectin while at Texas Hughley Hospital. They sued the hospital. They asked me to be the expert witness, which I did, and we fought to get him ivermectin. He lost the lawsuit eventually, and he never got the ivermectin. And then the hospital turned me into the medical board. And so I'm just battling that as well. And I have a hearing. It's a 5-day hearing coming up on April 29th.
Oh, wow. So this month. And is this a public hearing, or is this going to be pretty tightly held?
No, well, of course, it's still on Zoom, because I guess we're, you know, but it's, oh, you know, I'll share the link so people can watch.
That would be fantastic. And so you said one of the cases stems from a patient, Jason Jones. You said that was just a year ago?
Well, it all started in October of 2021.
Okay.
He finally made it out of the hospital, but he had lost half his body weight, and he just never fully recovered, and he died a year ago today.
Oh, wow.
Leaving behind 6 kids and a wife.
Mm. And he and his wife had to sue the hospital in order to get the treatment that they preferred or that they thought was effective.
Yeah, and they lost that lawsuit.
Yeah. Well, shifting gears a little bit, I know that after we last spoke and after we saw each other in December, you kind of dipped your toe into the dirty world of politics, kind of recognizing that that's a realm that you have to enter to change some of these policies and to have a positive impact going forward and to prevent things that happened over the last 4 years from happening again, at least here in Texas and hopefully beyond. So I want to kind of get your take on what the experience has been like, anything that you've learned so far, either about politics or politicians, and what your plan is moving forward now that we're out of the primaries. I know that you've mentioned there's been some resolutions passed. So if you just could talk a little bit about that and, let people know how they can get involved with you?
So I strongly believe that politics doesn't belong in healthcare, but, early on I shied away from politics completely because I thought it weakened my argument. But now we have the facts, we have the experience, we have the history, and I'm more comfortable speaking out. And yeah, it's not about the party, it's about the principle. If this were a Democrat initiative, I'd be, fighting the same fight. But it just so happens it's sort of fallen into the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. And it started in November of 2021. I just stumbled across a tweet from a representative in Michigan, Brad Pequette, and he posted about his hospitalization for myocarditis following the shots. And he's pretty young, has a small child. And then I asked him, would you be willing to state publicly that the COVID shot should be pulled off the market? And he wholeheartedly responded yes. And that just gave me the courage to ask more people. And so we've just been building this coalition of politicians. They can either be elected officials or people running for office who are willing to just simply state that the COVID shot should be pulled off the market. Now, we've added a second little pledge that they will not take donations from Big Pharma, and they've signed on to that as well. And now our list, we're up to 272 on the list. And then we've started building upon that. There have been counties around the country that are passing resolutions called Ban the Jab resolutions. A lot in Florida. But most recently, Lexington, South Carolina, which is the largest county in South Carolina and apparently pretty influential in the Republican Party, they passed the resolution. And actually, the state of Idaho, their Republican Party passed a resolution. So we just, chugging away bit by bit, just the more people that will speak out, then the less likely that everybody can ignore the issue.
And so how can people access this resolution to try to get it passed at their county party?
We have it on our website, just a template, AmericansForHealthFreedom.org.
Okay, perfect. And you, Americans for Health Freedom, correct me if I'm wrong, you have a PAC as well?
Right. Okay. We have 501(c)(4).
Yes. C4.
Yes, which is, part of the funds can go towards politics and part for education.
Oh, that's okay. Off the top of your head, how many of those who have signed the pledge or, I know that you were pretty persistent on Twitter getting into people's comments and like, will you commit to banning the jab? How many of those are from Texas?
Not as many as you would think, right? So we had a lot of outspoken politicians when it came to mandates, but those same politicians are very quiet with this initiative. Mm. It's very disappointing, but there are other states that are a lot braver. New Hampshire has a lot. Kentucky. Texas has been a major disappointment, and we could go on about the Texas politics, but Texas basically is not as red as you would think.
Yeah, I mean, any day we're at risk, right? So we're one election away. So I echo that sentiment, and I also want to talk about Texans for Vaccine Choice began and continues to be a nonpartisan organization. But like you said, it just happened that we fell more neatly under the Republican banner because they've been far more responsive and have carried a lot of the legislation. We have tried, well, I think we had a booth at two Democrat state conventions here in Texas, one of which had to involve police because of the level of harassment that the volunteers were enduring from the attendees. We try every other year to be a vendor, and the last two opportunities were denied, including this year. This year, they said they just didn't have the space for us. This was after emailing them and waiting for a couple of months and following up. So I don't want you know, any Democrats or anybody that's on the fence to listen to this and think like, you know, we're so anti. I want to encourage these people, continue to have that conversation with your representatives, your candidates, and let them know that this matters, because there's so many people that I know personally who have felt they had no other choice but to leave that party because of the things that they experienced during COVID. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping at some point Democrats start to turn and have a little bit more self-awareness about that. But, you know, I won't hold my breath. Mm-hmm. At the beginning, I said people can find you on Twitter as MD Breathe. You mentioned your website. How can people support what you're doing and be more involved in the fight with you?
Well, I think just keeping the conversation alive. I know a lot of people want to move on from COVID, but we must not forget. We must keep talking about it. And if you want to help our efforts in getting these shots pulled off the market, the best thing you can do is contact 10 politicians today, email them, and just ask them, send them a link to our website and ask them to sign the pledge.
And I think one question that some people are going to have is, if you succeed in getting these pulled off of the market, then what? Is that, like, you know, game over for you? Are you going to continue to fight this good fight? You know, we've TFEC in particular, you know, for the last 10 years has been active in speaking out about the corruption, especially at the national level with the vaccine court and vaccine injuries and the way that FDA colludes with CDC, et cetera. So I want to encourage people to understand that, you know, it's not just COVID. There's a lot of layers to this onion. How do you plan to stay vigilant beyond COVID?
There are so many issues. I'm going to have to see what's the most pressing.
Disease X.
I don't anticipate just retiring.
Good.
But it's a battle. I'm sure we'll be at this for many more years to come.
Good. Well, I thank you so much for coming on. Like I said, I was going to keep it short and sweet, just get an update about what's going on, because it seems to be moving quite quickly. Although, you know, now that you've laid it all out, it seems like it's moved at a snail's pace, but I appreciate everything that you're doing. I speak on behalf of thousands and thousands and thousands of Texans and saying we are so very grateful for everything that you've done and the risks that you've taken. So keep up the good fight.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Shot Callers podcast. Please, if you found value in this content, rate us and share the podcast with a friend. It's a great way to get the message out and to empower everyone to make informed decisions. Until next time, never forget, we are the Shot Callers.